You're listening to World Roots on the BBC with me, Lucy Duran.
Okay. What a glorious view.
It is fantastic.
Oh, amazing.
We're just outside the capital. The capital's called Antananarivo, which means the place of a thousand hills.
Oh, really?
And you can see hundreds of little Christmas pudding shaped hills stretching off into infinity behind the larger kind of mountains.
For years, I've been fascinated by the beautiful and unusual music of Madagascar. And finally, now, I've had the chance to visit the island and hear the music in its context. And what a context. My guide is one of Madagascar's best-known musicians, Justin Vallee, who, as his name suggests, plays the Vallee, the traditional zither of the island. Also with me is a great friend of Justin, someone he calls his brother, an instrument maker, musician, producer, and, it's fair to say, a Malagasy music fanatic, Paddy Bush. Starting in the capital, on the high central plateau of Madagascar, Justin and Paddy have brought me to the Amoy Bang Royal Palace, transporting me back centuries with music that Malagasy kings and queens would once have listened to.
So here we are now inside the fort at the top of this very, very high hill. I mean, we're about 2,500 metres up, so we were out of breath, not just because it's very steep, but because the air is quite refined.
That's true. It's been a defensive settlement for hundreds of years. You can see for miles and miles around. But I suppose the place is most famous for the very first king of Madagascar, Andrea Nampoy-Marin.
And there's the plaque to him.
Yes.
He evidently ruled from 1788 to 1810. The plaque is on this timbered house with very, very steep eaves. If I were just dropped in here, I think I would assume I was somewhere in Sumatra or something like that, not in Madagascar off the coast of East Africa in the Indian Ocean.
Interestingly, this is something that has only been recently found out through DNA studies, that the Meron people, who are the majority of the people on the high plateau...
Which is where we are, on the high plateau.
Yeah, they originally came from southeastern Borneo in Kalimantan, across the Indian Ocean, thousands of miles on rafts, to come all the way to Madagascar, bringing with them the bamboo for their vali instruments. But we're talking massive distances. To cross from the gates of Sumatra across the Indian Ocean would be the equivalent of walking from London to Beijing.
That's extraordinary. 2,000 years ago in little tiny wooden boats.
Yes, yeah, supposedly. But we are talking massive distances.
Here we are at what was the Royal Palace, because, I mean, there hasn't been royalty in this country, in Madagascar, since 1897.
That's right.
So this was the palace where the king and queen lived, and there's the plaque
yes.
to the king who reigned from 1788 to 1810.
He did a fantastic job of uniting all the different clans on the high plateau, mainly by marriage and by magical gifts. It started off by marrying women from the four points of the compass. So north, south, east and west, so he took four wives. Right? And then started marrying other women from in between the four points. He eventually wound up with 12 wives. In doing so, united all these clans that were far from united at the time. And he gave them little magical statue-type presents. And in return, the people gave him their valija instruments.
These beautiful zithers that are indigenous to
yes, it's a tube
to Madagascar.
It's a tube zither, of which the original versions were made from very long pieces of bamboo, that the strings were actually cut from the outside skin of the bamboo. And then small bridges made from dried calabash gourd were put under these slits of bamboo skin.
To sort of lift them up.
To lift them off and to facilitate tuning as well. But they were in terribly, terribly important. They were symbols of prestige. And by giving these instruments to the king, it showed their submission to his will.
So it was in this environment, in the palace environment, that a lot of the music, the special music of Madagascar, developed.
Absolutely.
You've invited some of the greatest musicians of Madagascar to come here to play for us and, well, to play maybe for the spirits of the kings.
We have a fantastic selection of musicians today, headed by Justin Vali, possibly the most famous Vali player in all of Madagascar. And we have a couple of really extraordinary other Vali players. We've got Donne and Sammy, as well as a fantastic player with a metallic Vali from Ambatan Trazak, which is on the East Coast, a guy called Daniel. We have a guitarist with us today called Colbert, and a percussionist too, Teen. And they're going to play a selection of classical Merina tunes, as well as some Malagasy favourites.
So, Paddy, what's just happened? I mean, obviously a very noisy plane going over, but, you know, they're in hysterics. Why?
Well, it's because the song that they've been playing, Magaga, is actually about an aeroplane.
No way.
And as if calling it up, it just appeared out of the blue and ruined our recording in the process.
That sounds very Malagasy somehow from all the stories you told me. An island full of magical things happening all the time.
Coincidences all the time. Yeah. Very synchronistic.
I'd like to ask Justin about this, Justin Valli. I'm lucky to have Seraphine with us, and Seraphine's going to be translating. Justin, tell me about the aeroplane song.
Justin is saying
that even for us musicians, we were quite surprised to see the aeroplane appearing. It's real mystery, magical. We believe, as Malagasy, we believe in the power of the ancestors. So the fact that the plane appeared is like a sign from the Razan.
Who are the Razan?
The Razan are the ancestors. They believe in the power of the ancestors, as this is very much a place of the ancestors.
Justin is saying
there is a big link between the place of the valley and this place. The valley is the instrument that the ancestors have used to call for the Razan, for the ancestors, to come, to manifest themselves.
So, Justin, will you do a piece for us that's really connected to this particular spot, the Blue Mountain Palace?
He's saying that, yes, he can indeed do that, and he's really, he can't wait to sing and then a Pwyn Mearn song.
A song by the king.
The name of the song is Miangal. Miangal was a young woman that the king and Jenapun Meren fell in love with.
Justin
is particularly happy to play the song Miangal here. He's been playing the song everywhere all over the world. So it's really special for him to play it here. That is why the plane has passed by, and as a sign from the king and Jana Pwyn Mearn, sending a sign to Justin.
Venu, 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 na matun tenro.
What an amazing start to my visit to Madagascar. I'm really stunned with joy and excitement because I'm with six of Madagascar's finest musicians, Justin Vallee on a tube zither, with Donne on a second tube zither, Sammy also on the tube zither, Danielle on a big box zither, and Teen on various kinds of percussion with the guitarist Colbert as well. And that was a song called Miangal, which was the name of the king's wife, the king in whose royal palace, well, we're actually in the enclosure for the zebu, the oxen.
It's really wonderful to hear this music played where it should be played. The instruments are significant too, because it's one of the few good things that came from the French colonization of Madagascar was the introduction of the bicycle. And with the bicycle came brake cable. And with the brake cable came the ability to make metal strings for the instruments. The original vali had bamboo strings on it. Generally speaking, it's the brake cable for the rear brakes that are used. It's slightly thicker than the cable for the front ones. And they take a piece of brake cable and unwind it into 16 or 17 individual filaments, all got bumps along them from having been wound up tight. And then these bumps are straightened out and turned into strings. Well, in fact, they're made from stainless steel. And these are strings that last for, they can last for a generation. And of course, the sonority of the instrument is dramatically different to the original ancestral instrument. Now the instrument is capable of long sustained notes and beautiful, clear sounds. And obviously, it's much louder than the original instruments too.
There's so much in this music that you have moments of thinking, where am I? I mean, you know, sometimes it sounds like South American harp, sometimes it sounds like Chinese music. It's just an incredible number of references that seem to be going on. And it's very diatonic. It has a very kind of Western tuning.
Yes, it's true. And that, in turn, is down to Malagasy royalty too. King Radam was given a piano by Queen Victoria. And this, in fact, standardized the tuning of the vali ever since. You know? It's diatonically tuned to the white notes on the piano.
Justin, will you play another piece for us? And will you tell us what it's going to be?
Lantramangamang.
Justin is going to play Lantramangamang, meaning blue sky.
Well, we're not quite under a blue sky. There's some racing clouds. So what's the significance of blue sky?
The song Lantramangamang is a song showing unity of the family. For example, if there is something, sadness or a loss within the family, we're all under the blue sky, and it represents a certain unity and togetherness.
There's a lot of political turmoil that's been going on, and it continues to go on in this country, and yet you have this amazing, very down-to-earth philosophy.
For him, particularly, because of this deep philosophy that he believes in, he's got permanent hope that this way of thinking is going to prevail and will undo all the problems, political problems, that's happening at the moment. The importance of the razan with the blue sky is that in this particular song, it talks about you must always keep together. So it's a message from the ancestors that you should always remain united so that they can sleep in peace.
Sarumani tunira una
To World Roots on the BBC with me, Lucy Duran. There's more from Madagascar after this.
BBC.
In a constantly changing world, we keep you informed.
In the programme today, the growing fears of civil war in Yemen and the latest on a nuclear plant.
When events become critical, we make sure we're there.
We're talking in the middle of a very fluid situation. This seems highly dangerous, highly provocative.
If a story needs explaining, we analyse it.
The depth, as I understand it, of the earthquake is about 10 kilometres, so we know that it's going to produce a tsunami.
BBC News keeps you up to date 24 hours a day.
The Tripoli sky lit up with anti-aircraft fire again tonight, repeatedly in short bursts.
The BBC, on radio, on TV and online at bbc.com/news.
Tell us what you think about what you hear on the BBC by joining me, Rajan Datar, every weekend for Over to You. Email us now at overtoyou@bbc.co.uk.
I'm Lucy Duran, and coming up in World Roots in a moment, I'll be continuing my journey across the Indian Ocean island of Madagascar. There's more ancient music from the Amoy Bang Royal Palace. Then I'll be off to Justin Vallee's home village to experience a hiragassi, where everyone dresses up in their best outfits and come together for a party with storytelling, theatre and some of the famous Malagasy choral singing. But first, the news.
BBC News with Zoe Diamond. Tens of thousands of people are continuing their protest in the Spanish capital against high unemployment and government austerity measures. The demonstrators have filled the square with tarpaulins and banners demanding an end to what they call the dictatorship of the markets. More details have been emerging of the extent of the violence in Syria on Friday. Human rights groups say that at least 44 people died when troops opened fire on anti-government protesters. The World Food Programme says that it's having to cut the rations being distributed in Somalia because of a shortage of funds. The organisation says that it has only about a third of the food it needs to feed the 1 million Somalis. The suicide bomber is reported to have blown himself up in the biggest military hospital in the Afghan capital, Kabul. At least six people were killed and many were wounded. Some reports suggest a second attacker may still be on the hospital grounds. The Chinese Prime Minister Wen Jiabao and South Korea's President Lee Myung-bak have visited areas of Japan that were devastated by the tsunami and earthquake. Mr. Wen said that he felt pain in his heart after seeing how the Japanese people had suffered. The elected president of Ivory Coast, Alassane Ouattara, is due to be inaugurated shortly in a ceremony that is hoped will end a decade of conflict. The French president, Nicolas Sarkozy, is among the dignitaries attending the event in the former French colony. The High Court in England has ordered the social networking site Twitter to provide the names of users who have published confidential details about a professional footballer. The case has put Twitter at the centre of the privacy debate in England. Speculation about exactly where the newlywed British royal couple, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, spent their honeymoon has been laid to rest. The government of the Seychelles announced that the couple ended their 10-day trip to the Indian Ocean on Friday. BBC News.
I'm Lucy Duran, and welcome back to World Roots from Madagascar. Justin Vallee with some of Madagascar's top musicians performing the piece Isaïs Malal, which translates as My Darling and I. That was recorded specially for World Roots at the Amboimang Royal Palace, about an hour outside Madagascar's capital, Tananarive. Times were hard when we were in Madagascar in the autumn of 2009. The country was in the middle of a terrible political crisis. Supermarkets were looted, cars burnt out, international aid was slipping away, and expats were leaving their beloved homes and friends and returning to Europe or other parts of Africa. As night fell, the city felt like it was on the edge. Temperatures on the high plateau are low, the streets were largely deserted, and we were told not to drive around after 9 p.m. The next morning, my guides, the musicians Justin Vallee and Paddy Bush, drove me about half an hour outside Tana, as the capital's known, to Justin's Madagascan home, and waiting there for us was a group of very special musicians. So, Paddy, I'm incredibly excited because one of the great traditions of Madagascar is this sort of wandering theatre troupe tradition called the Hiragassi, and I've always wanted to see it. Give me an idea of what it is that we're going to see and hear.
It's a really fantastic musical spectacle. It's a bit like the Battle of Waterloo without the cannon. It's a very long Malagasy tradition of singing and music that started in the late 1700s under King Radam I, who sent these troops of singers and musicians into the different provinces, almost like musical notice boards, in order to make royal proclamations. And we've got the troupe of Rasua Simanga, who are going to play for us today, with a large group of woman singers and a troupe of musicians who play percussion and violins. And we really are in for a treat.
And it's something that clearly attracts lots of people. There are dozens of kids have come in from all around the neighbourhood. It's obviously a tradition that people still love.
It is. It's a very, very big thing. In the countryside, when the Hiragassi play, there can literally be thousands of people in the audience that turn up. And we're having a more private session today. The way they're dressed, all the men are dressed with big red jackets that look a bit like the Beatles coats from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And the women are dressed...
And the significance of red?
It's to do with royalty. And all the women are dressed in beautiful, long, flowing dresses that almost look like Spanish dresses. They're all very, very attractive, and they have fantastic voices.
Seraphine, one man has come and stood in front of the troupe and he's reciting something, and it's obviously very interesting because the onlookers are clearly gripped by what he's saying. So what is it? What is he saying?
That is the troupe leader making his speech, where he introduces the group, and their name is Resuas Manga Bertin from Mbuimandrus. And he also introduces the title of the show as a Mishfal Maninskanyafi Fan Mahajano Kumba Zero Yang.
That's the title of their show. That's a very long title.
And it means don't be happy criticizing other people, but look at your own life first.
People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones or something.
Yes.
Something
exactly
like that.
You know, the Hiragassi do a new show every single year. And from the
and
air,
then do they run that show the whole year?
Yeah,
do they tailor-make
it,
shows for every different occasion?
It's a tailor-made show for the year, so it always changes. It always changes. So this year's theme is not to take pleasure in other people's problems.
Does this have any relation to what's going on now, the unstable political situation in Madagascar?
Oh, elements of it, certainly. But this show would have more likely been written about a year ago. And they work very hard on their shows. They do an awful lot of audience research. All the villages that surround where the Hiragassi come from come in, and they do test shows on them, and they adjust the show appropriately. So this is a very, very well-polished performance we're about to witness.
Yeah. Nidera.
The Malagasy are famous for their chorus singing, and when we listen to this Hiragasy troupe, you can really see why. The singing is just extraordinary. And we're recording this group, the Hiragasy, on the central plateau of Madagascar, especially for World Roots. Seraphine, what are they saying now?
In their song, they say that they've now finished their greetings and they shall now tell some stories to reflect over. Which means, for you are the people under the sky, so we shall tell you stories.
Fabulous, isn't it?
On the central, or high up on the central plateau of Madagascar, with the clouds racing above and the wind blowing hard. You do feel like these are people of the sky.
It's a fantastic image.
So, Seraphine, I guess it's a way of encouraging the listeners to be reflective and to think about how their songs might actually apply to themselves.
They are now, for example, giving the story of this woman called Rosanna Val, who really enjoys criticizing Rangzhou, saying...
And now these are two imaginary characters, or are they real people?
They might be real people, which they include in their Hiragas. This woman says that Rangzhou drinks a lot, he smokes weeds, his own family doesn't like him, his wife has left as he has no job. And then they're saying, well, she might be criticizing others, but she should look at her own life. They talk about Rosanna Val's life and her daughter, who runs dodgy business, and every day she drinks in bars, and when she gets drunk, she goes into fight. And then when she's drunk, she walks the street, she falls over and shows her massive knickers. And her hair is so disheveled that she looks like a witch. And she even loses her snuff box.
God, no wonder the audience loves it.
In a lot of ways, I see it a bit like the writings of Charles Dickens. In fact, there's a lot of parallels with English Victorian times and the way life in Madagascar is outside the main cities. You have whole towns, little brick houses, all lit by candles or paraffin lamps. In many, many ways, it's like Victorian times. And like the way Charles Dickens would comment on the way things were then, the Hiragasy perform exactly the same function.
So it's kind of very, very humorous moralising.
Yes, with characters...
Very, very rich characters.
Yes, that everybody recognises.
Thank you. It's just the most thrilling thing to watch this Hiragassi, because the women with their sort of shiny blue long dresses, they're all gesticulating as if they're one, and there must be, I don't know, 15 of them. They're all just pointing in the same direction and then in the opposite direction, and you know that they're saying something that's really important. What is it?
Yes, that was about young people wanting to look like foreigners. Before they had black hair and now it's coloured, only it's badly done, so it looks like hay, or they look like an owl.
They look also, like an owl.
They look like an owl.
That's great. Colour.
And now they are saying that not just the young people, but also old people no longer wear long dresses. Their skirt is so short that they cannot sit anymore.
They're telling people not to leave their traditions, not to lose their traditional ways.
That's exactly what they're doing. And it's important in these times that someone actually speaks up for the traditional ways, and the Hiragassi are the people to do it.
So is it under threat?
Very much so. The influence from the outside world is enormous here. You know, hundreds of years of tradition are evaporating in such a short amount of time just because of the influence of fashion and music from Europe and from America. Hairstyles and lengths of skirts are all relevant.
And yet you have such a sense with this music, with the Hiragassi, that it's such a powerful tradition.
And it's ancient, and it's a living tradition. And we're all part of it. Being here today, we're part of it too. So we must make sure we don't look like owls.
They're saying there are those who manipulate, even at church. Robertin tells you...
This is the Hiragassi group.
This is the Hiragassi group saying in their song, stay at home and don't listen to preaching. The money that you save after 9 years would fill a hat. So let's make sure that our ancestors do not become some fertilizers for sweet potatoes. So after 9 years... Let's buy silk shroud and we can wrap them up at our famadien.
The reburial ceremony.
Burial ceremony. So this way we can also listen to Hiragassi.
That's quite something, Paddy, to actually sing out in front of this crowd. If there's one piece of advice that I give to you, don't go to church.
Okay, it might seem like that at first, but they're quite clever in pointing out that this is to do with the recent Christian sects who are all demanding money from people to go to church. This isn't having a go at the Protestants or Catholics, but more at the more recent kind of Christian fanaticism that's come to the island.
Evangelistic.
And there are some very strange, extremely weird churches that have come to the island of Madagascar. This is brave talking, it's certainly true, but it's also very good advice and very refreshing to actually hear it being said, because I can't think of any other context where advice like this could be given.
So do you think at the end of a day of listening to a group like this, to this Hiragassi group, do you think people will go home and really have a serious think
about some of the things that they've taken for granted.
Very much so. Well, the tunes and the images keep turning around in your head for days and days after one of these performances. And there are all these little gems of wisdom that have been hidden away in the music, and people talk about it for weeks afterwards. It's a very, very big, important thing. Sometimes thousands of people will come to a Hiragassi performance. It's like the biggest thing to happen all year. They have a very educational role.
You can tell that just in the sort of the way that they gesture to the audience.
That's wonderful.
That they're really telling you something, and it's now, listen up, folks. You listen to what I have to say. And Paddy, these are families, the Hiragassi troupe.
They are. They're families who live in a specific village. In this case, it's Mbui Mantrus, which is not too far away. It's a Hiragassi village. Everything there is dedicated to the Hiragassi, as are the villages that surround it, are also dedicated to the Hiragassi there. And as I've said, they spend a whole year working on each of these performances to get them exactly right. And the one we're seeing today is just fantastic.
I think this is one of the most joyful and moving experiences that I've ever had in the field anywhere, certainly on World Roots. I mean, just the sheer intensity of this music, the power of the oral tradition, the sense of involvement in the poetry and the music, the theatre of it, the drama, the colours, the dancing, the gestures. Handing out notes of money, a local currency which is called Adi Adis, putting the money in the hands of the women with straw hats. Hang on, I'm reaching for my purple 1,000 note of Adi Adi into the straw hat. She's gesturing a thanks as she's dancing. So what was the last thing that the declaimer just said? What did he just say?
He just said that, he thanked everyone and said everybody's been so generous that they're going to buy a Mercedes car tomorrow.
Oh! Wow, there's quite a crowd that's gathered here. And one of the great things about this has been watching the involvement of the crowd. And even the little kids, they're just some lines that clearly just they love, and they've been clapping and applauding.
Yes, yes, they've been fantastic. The crowd has really reacted very well. And it's really lovely, the kids, every time they do something unusual, they just come and give them money, and there's clapping. And
now one of the declaimers is listening to our recording. And very intensely, and everybody's kind of lined up, they're all queuing to listen. Paddy, I mean, every time I looked over at you, you just had a grin. You still do. You're just grinning from ear to ear, and I'm grinning from ear to ear, but I was also in floods of tears, and I don't know why. I found it so moving. What is it about this?
Maybe it's the purity of the tradition. It's a direct communication with
the 18th century.
Exactly.
Although right at the end, they do bring you into the 21st century, don't they?
Oh, yeah, it does. It lightens up considerably when the trumpets and clarinets start.
Yeah, I mean, there's almost a sort of like a New Orleans brass band,
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Marching band kind of feel to that. And then they start doing
twist and things like that. Yeah. They do these dance routines.
Fantastic acrobatics by the young members.
The little kids.
Yeah, yeah. They've always attempted to incorporate elements from the modern world into the last sections of the Hiragas. They were the first people to start moonwalking in Madagascar after Michael Jackson appeared on the television doing it. And today we saw, yeah, a little bit of break dancing and fantastic backflips and acrobatics. And the wisdom and profoundness of what they're singing in Malagasy, it's like living Shakespeare. It's beautiful, beautiful poetry with fantastic wordplay.
And the gestures done with such passion. You know that they're saying something that really, really matters.
There's nothing like the Hiragas. Nothing.
This month's World Roots was presented by me, Lucy Duran, and it was produced by James Parkin for the BBC.